and a vigil for the homeless, and more. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, we welcome Melissa Yancey, author of the new collection of short fiction, Dog Years. And at 11:30, Radio Zine presents The Union Edge with a warning about unpaid internships and how Scandinavians got the economy right. Thank you, KBLO members, for your generous support. A reminder that all new and increased gifts to KBOO are matched one-to-one through the end of the year. Thanks to the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. It's 7:59. Voices from the Edge is next.
KBOO Community Radio is in this year's Willamette Week Give Guide. The Give Guide highlights 140 local nonprofits doing some great work. But give to KBOO and Give Guide today and help us highlight the impact community radio has throughout the Willamette Valley. The Give Guide is an easy, secure way to make a gift to KBOO. You get Chinook book discounts, free great stuff, and your donation receipt right in your inbox. If you aren't a KBOO member yet, now's the time to join. Your Give Guide contribution will be matched one-to-one. In fact, extra gifts to KBOO will be matched too. It's a great way to help us secure our challenge match. Go to kboo.fm and click on the yellow banner on the top of the screen. Thank you for supporting KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Engineering Work Group meets the first Thursday of each month at 7:30 p.m. Please call 231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email monica at kboo.org.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Underground Grad School. Classes that begin in January include What Now? Organize, the Inner Bowie Workshop, A Moment of Possibility, Leveraging Difference for Collective Action, and more. Portland Underground Grad School is also known as PUGS. Classes take place all over the Portland metro area. Information about registering, teaching classes, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Voices from the Edge. I am Joanne Hardesty. And as we get into the last couple of days of this year, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to move forward. I'm ready to think about what's possible in 2017 and what work people are doing on the ground now to prepare us for the work ahead in 2017. And so I have a list of lots of events coming up in January and February, but I also want to hear about the events that you know about. I clearly don't get them all in my email box. You may have some I don't know about. So I'm going to start with some early ones, but feel free to give me a call at 503-231-8187 and share with me what you know is being organized for the first 100 days of next year. That's my goal today, is to let you know that you're not in it alone. We're all in this together, and there are a lot of organizing efforts taking place that you can plug into. We don't have to create more organizations. We don't have to create more opportunities. I think there's a lot going on that we could all plug into. So, for example, starting off the new year, the Eastside Democratic Club meets on January 3rd at 12 noon at Grace Presbyterian Church, in Northeast Portland, which is located at 6025 Northeast Prescott Street from 12 to 2. Eastside Democratic Club is not a Democratic Party club. My understanding is that anybody who lives on the East Side can come to this club. Political affiliation is not necessary. In fact, most of the folks that participate are non-affiliated voters. So it's a great place to connect with people who really eat politics for breakfast and lunch and be able to engage and connect in that arena. In addition, January 6th will be the swearing-in of our latest, newest Portland City Commissioner, Coley Udale, and she will be sworn in at 4 o'clock on Friday, January 6th at Portland City Hall. Be fabulous to see a lot of folks there because, of course, she took out a sitting commissioner, which hasn't been done in quite some time. Most of the city commission that gets replaced because they don't run for reelection, because they know they're going to be replaced. And so it would be great to see as many folks out there as possible supporting, really, talk about a grassroots candidate who ran a grassroots campaign, who really spoke to the people in our community. That would be a great place to be. January 6th, 4 p.m., Portland City Hall. On January 8th, there is a Oregon Sanctuary Assembly with the Interfaith Movement for Immigrant Rights that will take place on Sunday, January 8th from 3 to 5 p.m. at 1314 Southwest Park Avenue. This is an opportunity for people to come together and find out more about our sanctuary city. As you know, has said that sanctuary cities will be punished for providing sanctuary. And I think this will be an opportunity for people to be updated about what we do moving forward under this title. And let me just say that currently, from my knowledge, sanctuary cities don't provide a lot of protection for folks. There's a difference between doing nothing and then doing something positive to make sure that people are safe. So hopefully this program will help people be able to understand that. On January 10th, Race Talks will host the film 13th, From Slavery to Mass Incarceration, and they will have a talk back after. As always, it will be at McMinimum's Kennedy School, Tuesday, January 10th, from 6 to 9 p.m. This is 13th. This is a documentary that has received lots of awards since it's been shown. And so it will be shown and there will be a discussion January 10th, McMinimum's. Come at 6, get food. Program starts at 7. It should be a very wonderfully interesting evening so that we understand why we got where we are and how hopefully we can get out of this mess that we're in. In addition, January 12th, there will be an event in Vancouver called No More. It's the National Anti-Violence Summit from January 12th to 13th. It's being presented by the Clark County Human Trafficking Task Force, January 12th through 13th at the Hilton Vancouver, Washington. Check that out. That is, January 12th. On January 14th, the first 100 days is a program by the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art. They will be holding a program starting January 14th and 15th. They are partnering with First 100 Days United in Resistance. And so I expect this is a program to assist artists in getting involved in activism in our community. There's a lot, and I'm just at January 14th, so only 2 weeks into the new year, and there's an awful lot that people can plug into and get connected and engaged in that process. If you want to join the conversation, I'm talking to myself, but I'd love to talk to you. The number to call is 503-231-8187. I have a caller on the line. Good morning, Bonnie. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call, Joanne.
You're welcome.
I just want to let you know that also on January 14th, I don't think these interfere, there's a day of action workshops called Stand Together. We will be at the Sunnyside Community House at 3520 Southeast Yamhill, right here in Portland. We're asking people to bring a sack lunch. It's completely free. We're offering workshops for people who are new to social engagement, political engagement, and people who want to up their skills. We'll have a whole day of action planning lessons and cooperative workshops on media, social media, community outreach, know your rights, nonviolent direct action, legal observing, and many more. The workshops will be held off at the same time. So
starting at 9:30?
It starts at 9:30. We have a number of sponsors so far, and we're reaching out to more groups. We have the Climate Action Coalition. We have Healthcare for All Oregon, Portland's Resistance, and a number of other groups, Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility.
Wonderful.
The doors open at 9:30. We'll have tables from organizations of various kinds, and the sessions will begin at 10 and go through 5 p.m.
Wonderful. Actually, you are on my list. I was just getting in. I think I hadn't even started the 14th yet, but you're definitely on my list for the 14th, but I'm glad you put it out there early, and I will reinforce it once I get to that date.
There's a lot. Anything you want to it. Thank you.
And
so much.
There's a lot happening that day, let me just say. There's a lot going on, but I think that's positive, right? The great thing about living in Oregon is that we don't sit on the sidelines. You know, when there's something that has to happen, people organize and get together. So thank you very much for what you're doing to make 2017 a better year for us all.
Sure. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. If you want to share with me what you've got going on in making 2017 the best it could possibly be. I'm actually very excited about 2017 because we've got new opportunities. And so I think it's going to be absolutely an interesting year. I'm not going to say it's going to be a great year, but it's definitely going to be an interesting year. And of course, on January 14th is the 7th annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast at Clark College in Vancouver, Washington. Dina Perrott has been doing this program forever. She always has great guests, informative speakers, and a packed room. And so Saturday, January 14th, Clark College, Vancouver. Program is from 8:30 a.m. till 11 a.m. Let's see. On the 14th, I'm going to just go through the 14th. Boom, boom, boom. All those seem to be the same. Stand Together, the Day of Action. We just got a call about that. Sunnyside Community House, located at 3520 Southeast Yamhill Street. Program doors open at 9:30 from 10 to 5. Workshops, a variety of workshops being organized by Climate Action Coalition, Healthcare for All, and other organizations. That will be Saturday, January 14th. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Edie. Welcome to K-Boo. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am delighted to, glad you're in our life, Joanne. So the reason I'm calling you is because I wanted to let you know about, that Bonnie called in to let you know about the program. And I attended her workshops. For folks who don't know if they really want to do this, they're kind of uncertain. I have attended thousands of workshops, presented them in my lifetime. So I'm very picky and very critical. And Bonnie's program is excellent. It is exciting and inspiring and useful and practical. The matter of life and death and great joy and fulfillment. So I really want to encourage the folks to who are longtime activists and folks who have never done anything like this before to take part in this workshop. I also wanted to find out if you have more information about the General Assembly and about Friends, Amigos, different groups that are trying to make safe neighborhoods to proactively care for each other and counter the hate crimes?
Yes, that will be coming up. There are certainly people organizing to help train community members on how to help keep community members safe in this rising time. So, yes, there's more coming.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. What do you know that's taking place that we should all know about? Let's see. I stopped on the 14th, and I stopped with the annual Dr. King breakfast in Vancouver. There's also a Stand Together, a Day of Action workshops at Sunnyside. I talked about that one. There's also the first meeting of elders for a New World PDX, January 14th. It will be at Central Library, Saturday, January 14th, from 10:15 a.m. to 12 noon. That's all the info I have about this. But I'm imagining that is created for elders for a new world. So I would want to know more, show up and find out what the elders for a new world are up to. On United for Immigrant Rights March and Rally will take place on January 14th at the Oregon State Capitol. It will start at 11:30 a.m. and run till 3 p.m. United Immigrant Rights Rally and March. Again, Saturday, January 14th, starting at 11:30, convening at 11:30, and going to 3 p.m. The annual 32nd annual anniversary of the Dr. Martin Luther King tribute, A Single Garment of Destiny, organized by the World Arts Foundation, will take place once again at Highland Christian Church, located at 7600 Northeast Gleason Street, starting at 11 a.m. and running through 6 p.m. It is the premier Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration that takes place in Portland every year. And thank you to Michael Chappie Grice, who's been doing it nonstop for 32 years. 32 years, and he retired 2 years ago, but he keeps doing it. So that says a lot about him. Thank you very much for that. There's also a We Demand Sanctuary Now rally on January 17th at Chute Park in Hillsboro, located at 900 Southeast Maple Street, being organized by Voz Hispana. Again, Tuesday, January 17th from 5 to 8 p.m. On January 20th, Rise Up and Resist Fascism Rally and March, Friday, January 20th, starting at 3:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square, being organized by... it says hosted by Michael Wallace and one other. So I don't know who it's being hosted by. But on my Facebook page, there's 19,300 people interested and 8.4 are going. So sounds like it might be a big rally. Again, Friday, January 20th, starting at 3:30, going to 9 p.m. The Women's March on Washington is scheduled to take place on January 21st, Saturday, January 21st, the march is scheduled from noon to 4 p.m. It will meet at Independence Avenue and 3rd Street. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the march in D.C. You don't want to be, unless you're going to D.C., there is the march in D.C., but there's also one in Portland. I'm sorry, the one in Portland starts at 12 noon to 4 p.m. and will meet at 2nd and NATO Parkway from noon to 4, Saturday, January 21st. But I also understand that there's a march before that that is being organized by Jobs with Justice, and I'm not seeing that on my list. So if my listeners know about the Jobs with Justice March, also taking place, I believe, the morning of Saturday, January 21st, from 10 to noon is my understanding, but my information has disappeared on that. So in addition, on January 21st, to a brand new social experience. Not quite sure what that is, but that doesn't look like that's actually connected to justice issues. On January 27th, Justice for Christopher Kalonji will be the one-year anniversary since he was killed by Clackamas County Sheriff's officers who came to help him with a mental health crisis and killed him in his bedroom. There will be an anniversary celebrating Christopher Kalonji's life on Friday, January 27th at 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. as being organized with Artists for Black Lives. And it says it's going to take place in Portland, Oregon, but I don't have an address for it yet. So I think if you stay tuned to KBOO, we will have more information about that. In addition, there will be a celebration of life and love for Al Harris, who recently is deceased, at Joe Bean's Music Studio. And it will take place on Friday, January 27th, starting at 8 p.m. It is being organized by Boogie Cats Perform, hosted by Brenda Morgan. For more information, contact Facebook. Just put Celebration of Life and Love for Al Harris into your Facebook engine. As you can see, there is a lot of organizing that is taking place in preparation for getting people ready for the hard work that will be in front of us next year. I think I'm excited about the fact that people understand that we can't do this alone, that we're all in this together, and we have absolutely new opportunities to get it right, new opportunities to actually bring people together, build a kind of coalition that's going to withstand these very tough times that we are in, and give people some joy and some support as we get through these first 100 days of the next administration. And so, do you have something that I didn't announce? I only went through mid-February. If you have information I should know, feel free to give me a call. The number again is 503-281-8187. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Tim. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Thank you, Joanne, for your show. I love it.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
I noticed you mentioned a ton of events. Is there any chance that you are going to post these up on the KBOO website under your today's episode or on your Facebook page?
I will.
Reference?
Yes, I will be later today putting it both on the KBOO website under Voices from the Edge as well as on my Facebook page.
Thank you. It's hard to track all that.
I know, right? It's a lot of information. Well, I'm just lucky that I get all those into my Facebook event invite, right? Which is why I know I don't have them all, right? People don't invite me to everything, so.
I'm really excited about a couple of the PUGS events coming up, the Moment of Possibility and What Now Organize. PUGS does great work, and I'm all about David Bowie, too, so the David Bowie, Inner Bowie workshop they're doing.
Right.
And we're going to be doing a David Bowie memorial bike ride on his birthday on January 8th. So, you know, get out there, and you can do other things and celebrate life and amazing music.
That sounds fabulous. Excellent. Yes, we need to keep the good stuff happening, right? We need music, we need organizers, we need safe places in our community, and all of us have an opportunity to be involved in some of that.
Thank you so much for your show and knowledge.
Thank you. You have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. What else is on your plate? I have good morning, Michelle. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Joanne. Yeah, in response to the housing issue that we're having, There's an organization called Let's Share Housing, and we have a website at letsharehousing.com, but we also have monthly meetings where people can meet face-to-face and find future housemates. We have one on January the 7th at the Living Room. It's a coffee house in Selwood at 8524 Southeast 17th. We also have one on
Southeast 8525 Southeast.
8524 Southeast 17th Avenue.
Okay.
And then we also have one on the west side. So we have one on the east and the west side every month. And the one on the west side is at the Multnomah Arts Center in Multnomah Village. That's from 10 to noon on the 14th, like everything else in the world.
right.
And that's at 7688 Southwest Capitol Highway, right there in the heart of Multnomah Village. So people get together, talk about their whether they're the house owner or someone looking for
a
place to rent, and then they match themselves up. So,
wow, very cool. Very, I love that creativity. Yes, I was just reading in Willamette Week that they said that the average apartment in Portland is like $1,175.
Wow.
One bedroom as of December, but an average rent for a market rate, and I don't know the difference between, well, both of these, average rent for a market rate, a one-bedroom apartment in October of 2016, oh, I was in 2015, was $1,175 in 2015. Now it's $1,328 is the average price.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That's more than my mortgage.
It is. It's more than most people's mortgage, right? If you are fortunate enough to have a house, that is absolutely crazy. So what a great opportunity for people to be able to find a roommate. I mean, I think it's appalling that working people work full time, have to actually consider having a roommate in order to be able to live in the city of Portland.
Exactly. And the other piece of it is creating community. I mean, that's right. Our vision. So it's not just a housemate, you know, it's actually looking at, you know, a new model. I'm actually in the senior industry, but we've opened this up to anyone from 18 to 80.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, you raise an excellent point, because I've been saying this like for a decade. It just amazes me that we keep building housing like we've always built housing, right? We're not thinking about how people live, how you could have generational housing, how you could have housing with shared laundry facility or shared kitchens or shared community spaces. I mean, we just keep doing the things that we've always done, just thinking, well, that's the way we do it here, which is,
right.
You know, which is why we're in the situation that we're in right now. Thank you very much for your call. Have a fabulously wonderful new year. And thank you for being ready to just dive in.
Thank you, Joanne. Is there a possibility of getting an email address that I could send events to you? Or should I call the station for that?
Absolutely. If you'll hang on the line, I'll ask my engineer to get your email from you, and then I will personally send you my email. So, yeah, I would be happy to forward information.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a fabulous day. Hang on the line. Engineer, get your email.
Okay.
So, yes, there is an awful lot that is coming up. Right? That is the very good news, is that people are really organizing to do some phenomenal work in the upcoming year. And as you know, we got a lot of work to do. So we're not going to pretend that somehow we're living in this, like, you know, utopia. We've got some serious problems in this state. And what we have lacked for a long time is political leadership to address those problems. And so it is my hope that we're in a new era, a new time, with some new leadership, not enough, but some new leadership, which I hope will be enough to actually push the status quo to do the right thing and to start really tackling some of these big problems. So, for example, the very first purchase that the city of Portland did with the housing bond money was to overspend $50 million on a property that they didn't even have appraised before they went and gave this developer $50 million for this property that was a piece of crap. That's your tax money. That is money that that they sold you in the believing was somehow going to help poor people. And the very first expenditure helped a rich developer get a lot richer. Now, I understand from people that I've spoken to that that property wasn't worth more than $20 million. And so why, because it wasn't the city council's money, why would they spend $50 million for this building? And they didn't even actually make the landlord live up to the requirement that that be housing for low-income people. And so I'm already pissed. I knew I didn't vote for that measure because I didn't believe. I thought it was the most expensive affordable housing measure ever envisioned. And so I did not vote for it, even though I know there are a lot of people desperate for housing. And then what do? The very first thing they do is give $50 million to this guy for this crappy piece of property without doing an appraisal. That's our money that they're spending. And so if that's the first thing they did, you can imagine it's only going to get worse. But I'm going to go back to the phone line because I was in a positive mood talking about the positive stuff that's going to happen next year. And so I'm going to go back on that theme. And welcome, Brian, to the program. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Joanne. Thanks for KBOO here. I'm a member, been a longtime member.
Yay.
I wanted to, just a couple things I am excited about. I just saw a friend is organizing just a community kind of suppers and to build community, a Shabbat, a weekly potluck is a positive thing just to get people together.
Oh, I love that.
Not to party, multi-generational, right, but to just talk, break, have some food, just communicate our news from non-corporate sources.
Yeah, I love that.
As you were mentioning housing, I do want to mention that there have been experiments in Portland with different types of co-housing, community housing, cooperative housing, and that people should look at those as models.
Yes.
Portland has three or four vibrant co-housing communities, and they were all built in the mid-90s. I don't think a new one's been built in 10 years, and they're a great way to live together. Smaller individual units, a lot more cooperative area for sharing.
Yes.
So we don't all need our own extra bedroom, our own, 20-piece dish set for that one time every 2 years when your family's there.
Right.
And then lastly, the thing I wanted to call about was just, we keep organizing on Facebook, and I don't know what else to do, but I just do want to say that, Facebook is a weird place. We don't control it.
That's right.
It's a monetized corporate environment.
Yes.
Designed to not help us organize in some ways. And sometimes it seems easy, but it's also a surveillance tool.
Yes.
And I just think we need to figure out a way to get off of it. And it's tough because I'm there and we're all there. But
right. Well,
time, it's our enemy. But
I think you make a good point, right? I mean, the reality is that Facebook is, it could be the best or the worst, right? It just depends on how you use Facebook. However, Facebook doesn't replace face-to-face organizing. It doesn't replace sitting down having community meals, right, where you're actually learning and getting to know your neighbors. It doesn't replace that. So it's just a tool, right? And if you use it as a tool, it's great. But if you think that you can organize the world from your keyboard on Facebook, you're in for a rude awakening. But thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Appreciate that. I love the idea of the weekly get-together. I think more neighborhoods should do that. It'd be a lot less calls to the police if people actually knew the people who lived in their neighborhood. Have a great day. Let's see. We're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Sonia. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning. I have the notice about the Jobs for Justice rally.
Thank you. Okay, is it the 21st, 10 to noon?
It is the 21st, and I will just read it off to you because it's really short.
Okay.
Labor and community rally and march for a united front against the Trump agenda. Saturday, January 21st, 10 o'clock to 11:30 a.m. from Szymanski Park, Southwest Salmon and Park, to Waterfront at Salmon Street Springs. We will join the Portland Women's March at noon on Waterfront. It's permitted and family-friendly. And it says info at jwjpdx.org. And I went on their website, and this little flyer that I have was not on the website, but there was news about the march.
Yeah, I thought I got it through Facebook, and I couldn't find it today. But thank you very much. Appreciate you finding it and sharing it with us.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a great day. You know, and I forgot to tell you, the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform is also organizing a march in Northeast Portland, starting at the Convention Center. That will take place on Saturday, January 28th, starting at 10 a.m. And we will be meeting at Dr. King's statue at the convention center. And it would be fabulous. The goal is, again, 10 a.m. This is a family-friendly event. It's being organized by the Urbana Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. There are guidelines for participation. And so if you agree with the guidelines, you are welcome to come. And the guidelines are: all AMA coalition actions are guided by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s nonviolent direct action principles. Language used in rally, marches, and civil disobedience or other actions must be family and children friendly. All organizations and individuals participating in the AMA coalition demonstration and actions must show respect for one another. All demonstrations and actions of the AMA coalition are under the leadership of the AMA coalition steering committee. So again, 10 a.m. Saturday, January 28th, meeting at 10 a.m. at the Martin Luther King Jr. statue at the convention center. The march will start promptly at 10:30, and it will in at 11:45 at Maranatha Church with a rally, community table, and refreshments. Again, that is Saturday, January 28th, a family-friendly event that will be really good. So hopefully people will be will come and support that effort. The fabulous thing is there's a lot, as I said, a lot of great things are happening as we prepare for the new year. We have a new mayor coming in. We will have a new police chief because there's going to be a national search for a new police chief. We have a new city commissioner. Hopefully the other city commissioners are paying attention now that they know that it is possible to replace sitting commissioners in office. I think that's a great thing for them to be reminded of on a regular basis. I think as I think about this year, I think about all the missed opportunities that could have been good for the city of Portland. But I don't want to dwell on the missed opportunities. I actually want to inspire us to think about what's possible as we move into 2017. We certainly know that there's not a lot that we're going to be able to do on the national level. That just means we need to double down locally and make sure that we are holding our elected leaders accountable for their behavior and actions, that we are tracking how those dollars are spent for affordable housing, that we are not allowing the building trade to get away with this ludicrous proposal that we develop a Section 8 type program. You know, you got to love John DeLorenzo because, you know, he's a rich guy that advocates for rich guys. He's been a lobbyist for a long time, and he actually thinks he runs Salem because he comes in and tells people what will and won't be considered in the legislative body, even though he's actually never been invited into office. He's never actually been elected into office. He just happens to be the lobbyist for the Oregon Restaurant Association, as well as some other big money folks. And so here's the deal. I mean, it's the most ludicrous thing. I just told you that average rent in Portland is $1,400 a month. This idiot has proposed that we come up with a $25 million Oregon Rental Assistance Program, very similar to Section 8, But here's the caveat, right? You put this $25 million pot in place. The pot's for landlords, right? The pot, the $25 million is for landlords. And what it would do would subsidize up to $100 a month in rent for renters who can prove they have to bring in their income tax, their pay stubs. They have to bring in proof that they can't afford their rent. And for them jumping through all those hoops, they will get a measly $100 off their rent. It won't be that the rent will be reduced by $100. We taxpayers will be giving the landlord $100 a month so that they can still overcharge people for the crappy apartments that they're renting. I mean, you would think that the guy was on drugs if he wasn't actually a lobbyist, right? So you have to figure out, he's representing his clients. And his clients are like, oh, people are depressed. They are frustrated about the high cost of rent. Oh, we need to do something. This is stupid. And if the legislature gives this any legs at all, next session we should be talking about who's all those people that should be replaced in the Oregon legislative body. Because, again, it goes to show, these are people with no lived experience in trying to find an apartment, trying to find a safe, affordable, clean place to live. I had to tell you, when I was looking for a place, it made me crazy, because all of a sudden now, and I don't have any pets, thank goodness, because who knew that pets pay rent nowadays anywhere from $50 to $200 a month. People pay. Now, it used to be you paid a rent deposit so that if the pet messed up the apartment when you moved out, it would be covered. But now landlords have figured out, no, they can charge you monthly for a pet. I am so glad I don't have a pet, because it would make me crazy that my rent's already way too expensive. But now you're going to add a pet feed on top of that. It is disgusting to me to think that that with a straight face, a lobbyist would come to the legislature with this proposal. So I'm thrilled that Tina Kotek has just told them straight out, that proposal is dead. It ain't going to happen. And thank goodness she said that. So that's what we're facing next year. What we're facing is clueless. The lobbyists don't work for us. So that's the first thing. The first thing is, these big time lobbyists, they don't work for us. They work for big money people. And so they are already plotting and planning how they're not going to have to be responsive to the frustration all over the state where people unable to find affordable housing. I think, you know, housing is a human right, just like healthcare is a human right. And we are living in a society that has become, those who can afford to pay, can afford it, can get it. And those who can't, won't. That's really the bottom line. And so lots of great events coming up next year. Any other events that I didn't mention that you know about, let me know. Give me a call at 503-231-8187. Tell me about New Year resolutions. Did you make New Year's resolutions this year? I did not. I haven't thought about it yet. I'm just trying to put one foot in front of the other every single day to make sure that we can continue to actually move the city of Portland forward. Pretty much given up on what's going to happen at the national level. But of course, we can't give up, because, you know, there'll be a lot of battles that we'll have to organize and fight in opposition to. That's going to happen. But it would have happened if Hillary had won as well. It's just going to be much more nonstop because of the other person who now will be in the White House. Lots of really good stuff coming up. It's wonderful to see so many people organizing, so many people realizing that they have to connect with an organization, because, quite frankly, we cannot do this alone. It takes lots of us working together to make great things happen. And so it's really important that as you get ready for the new year, that you start thinking about, okay, what is really possible? How do I plug in? Where can I use my energy, my expertise, my resources to have the biggest impact? Those are some questions that I'm hoping that we're all considering as we move into the new year. We've got callers on the line. Good morning, Angela. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi.
Hi.
So, let's see. You're on the topic of making Oregon more affordable to live in, and there's a couple of measures. Well, one is in the legislation, and then one is proposed by the governor to increase fees for bad driving. And the one in the legislature is about, one of the top.
Oh, distracted drivers?
Yeah.
Is that the one that they want to raise the fine to $6,000?
Well, I doubt that a court would actually charge you that much, but in theory they could. They would probably charge you like maybe a lot less, maybe $600, $1,000. I don't know. They would make it higher than whatever the amount is right now. So it wouldn't be $6,000. It might be $1,000 or something.
I was listening to a story briefly on my way in this morning, and I thought that the proposal was to raise that distracting driver's fee to $6,000.
Well, yeah, that's sort of the maximum courts and the legislature will do that, but people will, I don't think anyone will be charged that. I mean, they do that for a lot of laws. But people hardly ever charge that full amount. And they're not going to put anyone in jail for a year, I doubt. I mean, like, drunk driving right now, I mean, people don't get any jail time for drunk driving. So why they're, harping on this measure, I don't know. Well, I mean, I understand they want to make Oregon roads safer, but my complaint is that it will affect the people who make less more than it will affect people who are... who have a lot of money. So, I mean, I see it as a tax hurting the poor, sort of, because the poor will pay a higher percentage of their income on, like, driving fees or infractions and citations.
Well, no question. And if you just look at how, who gets stopped on Oregon roads right now, and who gets searched, and who gets... who gets stopped and questioned and searched, right now we have an inequitable law enforcement. If you're poor, if you're a person of color, the chances of you being stopped are significantly higher than if you're driving a high-priced car and you're a white male. So this would exacerbate what's already inequitable use of law enforcement on the roads.
Yeah, and I'm so upset that Peter Courtney he's like leading this measure, I believe. I think his original proposal for fees were even higher than.
I was appalled to hear $6,000 because I thought, who could write a check for $6,000? I mean,
yeah, well, that's.
And to say that that's the law, but the judges and other folks will figure out what's a more reasonable cost is BS. If that's the law, the judge will say, well, the legislature said it's $6,000, right? And unless you have money to hire a good defense lawyer, which most poor people don't, you're going to end up at the maximum fee. Because it's all about the state making money then. It's not about safe roads. It's about the state making money.
Yeah, and I've gone to traffic court before for, like, not stopping. I was stop sign.
Right.
And I hired a traffic court lawyer, and he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything. He said that the traffic cases are hardly ever overturned by the judge or, you know, ruled in the defendant's favor. They just aren't.
Yes,
they believe the police over the defendant, even if you hire a lawyer. So there's no way. There's no way around that. And then Kate Brown is proposing to the same thing around traffic lights. She wants to make a violation of running a red stoplight, a higher fee in order to.
Well, you know,
budget deficit. So I mean, there's two measures there to hurt lower income people,
right,
for driving bad or just driving normally. I mean, everyone gets like a few tickets here and there, whatever.
Well, I don't know if everybody, but let me just say this. I mean, I think what you have acknowledged is we have a legislature that has a $1.8 billion budget deficit, and they are going to be going out of their way to raise as many taxes and fees as possible so that they can address that budget deficit. And what they normally do is do this on the back of poor people. And again, it's being sold as a traffic fatality issue. In fact, if the money is not being used to refix the roads or to maintain traffic safety or do traffic education classes, then it's just actually to fill the coffers of state government. Thank you for your call. We're going to be paying attention to that legislative proposals. Luckily, the session doesn't start until February, and we will have a chance to actually review what's being proposed before we weigh in and let our legislative leaders know what we want and what we don't want. Thank
you. I'm looking to Kate Brown's proposal on running red lights.
Right. I will look into that. Thank you so much for your call. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, Mitch. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, thanks for letting us know about what John DiLorenzo and his lobbyist buddies in Salem have been up to.
You are welcome. They are working hard already, and the session hasn't started yet.
Absolutely, and I just wish that there was a little more news media coverage of that kind of a deal, because we always wonder why Oregon's supposed to be such a blue progressive state, and yet all the policies that perpetuate this housing bubble and how nothing really gets done to solve the problems that we don't make any ground on, like the city being unaffordable for working people to live in. We wonder about that, and you know, I don't think the one correction I'd make in what you said, which was totally valid about DiLorenzo work gaming the system in Salem, is that it isn't that he's clueless. It's that we, the body politic, are clueless.
Yes, yes.
They know what they're doing.
Yes, yes.
And they know how to tap into that public money.
Yes.
And I think it's very important that readers in Portland who lean on the so-called alternative media never forget that the Willamette Week, which sells us all the new fancy places to go get booze every week, that the Willamette Week endorsed the bond measure that would have taxed corporations fairly for the first time in 30 years, and the Willamette Week voted against it.
That's
was
true.
That measure 97 or 98 that they came out against?
97.
Yeah, and they didn't provide any valid reasons. They didn't sponsor any forums to have it discussed. No, they just weaseled their way out to look progressive by endorsing Chloe Udalli, but then coming out against what would have paid for some kind of movement back to sanity for working people.
So here's an interesting question. Now, that particular measure, it could have passed had the organizers actually worked with the community before they developed that measure. Because when it first came to me, my first question was, so what is the legislature going to do with this new $3 billion? Well, it's going to go to education, healthcare, and senior services. Well, how are we sure that that's where it's going to go, since the measure doesn't say that, right, was my question number one. And number two, my question was, so does that mean that those three areas that have been identified, the priority is going to be to eliminate the disparate outcomes in all those areas? And they said, well, no, that's not in the proposal. And so, you know, I think it was unfortunately, it could have worked had they actually built community support before they just developed a ballot measure and then just took it out and sold it to the public.
Absolutely. But how do they reach the public when they don't have alternative media coverage?
Well, I mean, but these are smart people.
I think Ben Unger's heart is in the right place.
Well, I mean, but Ben didn't pick up the phone and actually call folks to say, let's have a meeting. Let's talk about how we could collectively do this for the state. Ben sat in his little office with his people, and they designed this particular measure.
Well, from your time in Salem, and you have the experience, my question to you is that now there's all this talk about, for some reason, the oligarch Ted Wheeler, who's the new mayor of Portland, is supposed to be some great savior. Everyone in Salem seemed to love him. Can you shed a little light, Joanne, on what he said about now taking the housing authority away from Dan Saltzman? Is this a good faith move, or is this just another way for him to...
Well, I hope he takes it from Dan Saltzman, because Dan Saltzman...
Well, he said he's going to do it, but I don't know who he's going to give it to or what he has in mind.
I don't know what he has in mind. He hasn't told me what he has in mind either, but I think if that's his plan, I would applaud that. I would stand up and applaud him taking housing from Dan. Because
Saltzman is the biggest fraud going.
Well, Saltzman and Fish... Because, you know, as the civil rights lawyer...
And the guy cruising around the world, Charlie Hales, who's going to retire so he can get on his yacht and go cruise around the world. But he was the real martyr for homelessness. And he's selling himself. His legacy is that.
You know, I got to tell you, I was yelling and screaming at my radio when he was doing an exit interview with OPB. And
OPB, Dave Miller, not one question. And this is not a guy who is slow on the uptake. This is a guy who knows how to feather his own nest, Dave Miller at OPB. They won't ask a hard question.
Which is why they probably get all the resources they get, because they won't ask the hard questions. I got to go. I got
Amen.
A couple of callers lined up.
Keep
on doing. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Thank you for being an informed KBOO listener. Okay, next caller, please. Richard, good morning. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Joanne, and thank you for the show.
You're welcome.
I'm just keeping up with your announcement of events. I was looking, as you talked, at the Portland Tribune,
mm-hmm.
and I was surprised to see a full-page ad titled Portland City Council Agenda, with dates of meetings, the protocol. I have always looked for information like this. I don't know if this
wow.
is new for the Portland Tribune, but I think we ought to encourage them to keep us informed about city council objectives.
Well, that is definitely new, and I agree with you. We absolutely should encourage them to continue to do that. I'll pick one up today and check it out. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 503-231-8187. No more callers on the line. We're just about out of time, but it's all good. We have a lot coming up in January. We've got a couple of days left in this year. I hope you've had an opportunity to spend time with loved ones over this holiday. I hope you've been warm. I hope you've got a safe place to be, because next year, it's going to be a very, very tough year. We will have to depend on ourselves. But the good news is that pretty much we've always had to depend on ourselves. Depend on ourselves, depend on our neighbors, get to know our neighbors, spend time building community. I think the biggest challenge that we have facing us is seeing each other, being able to actually really be present with people that we encounter, that we engage with. I am really, really excited about, again, this year, the opportunities that this year, this upcoming year provides for us. And I think at the end of the day, it is my hope and my prayer into the new year that we will be stronger, we will be more resilient, we will be more committed to community, and we will have each other's back as we get into a year that will be filled with a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of fear about what's going to come down the pike, but you know, I'm old enough to know that this too shall pass. I mean, is it going to be hard starting off? Probably. But hey, if we survived the George Bush years, and we did, one and two, We survived all that. We will survive another pompous white rich guy in the White House pretending that he's looking out for the rest of us. And so enjoy this last of the holiday season as we prepare for the new year. I will make sure to list the upcoming events that I talked to you about. And I will see you next year. Same place, same station, same time. Thank you, John. Thank you, listeners. See you next year. Have a great day.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Good morning. This is KBOO Portland. It's 8:59. Coming up next is Press Watch, your weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program hosted by Teresa Mitchell. At 10 o'clock this morning, it's On the Ground Radio and part four of Black Power at 50. From Malcolm X to Barack Obama, the recent march against Islamophobia, a vigil for the homeless, and more. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, we welcome Melissa Yancey, author of a new collection of short fiction, Dog Years. And at 11:30, Radio Zine presents The Union Edge with a warning about unpaid internships and how Scandinavians got the economy right. The weather today, rain likely after 4, high around 44 degrees. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. A reminder that all new and increased gifts to KBOO are matched 1-to-1 through the end of the year, which is ending pretty quickly. So, please help us out. Thanks to the Collins Foundation and SSI Trading Systems. Double your pleasure. Go to KBOO.fm and click on donate.
Tune into Cable every weekday at 7 p.m. for Hard Knock Radio. News and views from a hip-hop perspective with Davey D. Hard Knock Radio features in-depth interviews and profiles with community leaders, activists, hip-hop artists, and musicians, giving voice to community concerns and offering a unique forum to explore issues relevant to hip-hop community. That's every weekday at 7 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996.